Well, good morning. John and Amy here of Paddles Up. We just wanted to share some morning revelation with you. It's amazing how we get these things that just pop up when you're practicing the presence of God. In the morning, we just have these kind of epiphanies or revelations that happen. And one of the things that we wanted to share was, it came just this term or this coin came, ascension anchors. So what are they? You know, anchors are those things that dig in and they hold something in place from moving, or they attempt to. So you look at a boat, you throw an anchor over, or you have these anchors and lines and weights that go over a hot air balloon.
And
then it holds that. Holds that ascended piece or that ascension or that moving part in place. And we have these people in our lives that may mean well, because they just don't want change, or they're afraid of being abandoned, and they want to hold us because they love us. They want to hold us, or they fear something or someone moving out of their space that's going to leave them feeling alone. And man, did we see this during the pandemic, didn't we? All over the world, where you have isolation and then seemingly people moved apart or moved away from them, or their favorite stores, their favorite restaurants, their favorite places to go. I can't tell you how many times we heard on the job when doing contract work where I'd hear the workers say, man, I can't go to the bar anymore. I can't go to my favorite place. Well, all my friends, we used to go out every Wednesday and every Friday and every Saturday. Man, I feel abandoned.
Yeah,
I even heard him say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, so what does that mean? Well, you're stuck with yourself. And there's a whole other message about that, being stuck with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we hate that? But anyway.
Yeah, it was almost like, ascension. You know, when you have the little static blurb in a movie or a Wi-Fi connection, it kind of snaps you out of the false matrix, you know, because we're kind of in this Truman Show sometimes and just doing everything the same, right? Getting up on the side of the bed the same, eating this, you know, brushing your teeth the same, going to your favorite coffee spot the same, parking in your favorite spot the same, so much so that you claim it's yours when it's open to anybody, right?
Yeah.
Or your seat or everything, just searching for these absolutes, and it actually anchors you from your growth and movement. And you know, the subtitle with Paddles Up is Let the Current Take You, and that current is God's continual growth and expansion for you. But if we become anchors, or we allow people to anchor us where they want to remain, it's going to end up stifling you. And I know it's a really hard place to be, because, you know, we love these people, or we love these places, or, you know, all this kind of stuff. But if it's going to hold you back and stifle your growth, you have to be willing. This is all another piece of the letting go, right? The paddles up, letting go, and allowing the flow and the current to take you forward instead of anchoring you. So we're going to talk a little bit more. How do you identify these ascension anchors?
Yeah, and we have this term that came up years ago. It was about 2014 or so, and we were talking about relationships and how some people rub us the wrong way. You know, we have these sayings. And it was relational rub was the term that came up in our hearts. And during the time, there was a lot of that going on, and still is everywhere. But it's like, you know, iron sharpens iron. That's another way to say it. But relational rub is when you get two people or more in any given situation, and God has put them in a relationship somehow, whether it's just on the surface level or goes deeper. That's in a spouse relationship. And then you're rubbing each other the wrong way, or you rub your hand against the grain of a cat's hair.
Like a tug of war.
And there's a tug of war going on. So the picture I was seeing this morning about ascension anchors was somebody's arm wrapped around a rope trying to hold the hot air balloon up down all by themselves,
mm-hmm.
while there's a group of people inside the basket ascending and they're enjoying the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the one that's holding on to the rope, trying to dig their heels into the earth,
yeah,
is sweating and toiling and full of frustration and fear and abandonment. Like, how dare you go up in there without me? And here's the thing. It's not as if they weren't invited into that basket.
There you go, yeah.
Because the invitation is always open for our ascension in the entirety of humanity.
Right.
But what is the issue with one or two people on the ground? They're like, oh, I'm so afraid to go up because what if I get hurt?
Mm-hmm.
What if I get abandoned? What if I get abused again?
Yeah, and I don't want to look stupid, right? The pride kicks in with, this is the way it's always been. This is the way I was raised. This is my code that I'm loyal to. It's the loyalty to a fault. It's, you know, my way or the highway. I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to have to learn something over again. You're making me look stupid by ascending into something new. So now I feel like I'm inadequate. All these kind of things, and it's all rooted in pride, which is linked to fear, which exposes the roots of abandonment, right? And vulnerability. And again, like John said, it wasn't as if these people weren't invited up, right? The door is always open. And Jesus said, I am the door.
Yeah.
And it's always open. But if you're dealing with people in your life like this, or you're realizing, whoa, maybe I'm being an ascension anchor and I haven't been letting the next generation ascend, and I'm trying to teach them in my old 3D ways and make them like me instead of being teachable and flexible and allowing my spiritual growth to expand with the next generation and go up higher. It's just these caps we put on ourselves and limitations and fears that are keeping us anchored to the ground.
Yeah.
And God's always calling us up higher, isn't he?
Yeah, and really, like we just said, there's a whole host of emotions that come up.
Yeah.
And one of the cruelest ones, is jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the relational rub thing where Amy and I were pretty involved in this one church setting, and we were involved with the prophetic ministry and did some business things there, and I remember going up and just releasing a word about this aircraft carrier, and down below the deck you have really tight quarters, and when you're in a group of people, you know how this goes, whether it's your family or a church family, wherever you're at, you have this tight-knit situation where you're always around these people. Some of them rub you the wrong way. Others are very, it's awesome to be around. But I was saying, at below deck, you're in really tight quarters. And wherever God is taking that group of people, you're going to have to learn to get along or not. And so I was talking about relational rub, just saying that word. And then I go sit back down. And then it was one of the other leaders in the church was referred to, but the senior leader, starts talking about this other leader and how they came up with this coin, relational rub.
Which they had heard from you.
Which they had heard from...
Which they were one of our good friends.
From me. So I'm like, okay, and then there was no mention. There was no mention like, yeah, you know, John over here coined this word. One that shared it with me. And we've had many times like that. I'm sure you've had that stuff happen to you too. And what it does is, like, it's not as if, you know, once you've ascended some in your life and you have some maturity about you, you look at that and you go, man, that's a bummer. Why wouldn't he mention me in there? But then you have to look. Like, if you have self-reflection and you're self-aware, then you're going to like, oh, why am I triggered by this? Why is this triggering me right now? Who cares who gets the credit, right? Mm-hmm. But this jealousy thing starts coming up. And you're like, well, why does he get mentioned when I'm the one that came up with this thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start feeling these emotions that you don't want to feel.
Right.
And you're like, man, jealousy is as cruel as the grave, because if you allow it, it starts festering. And then it goes beyond the anger and the fury part.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing really to describe the feeling of this inflamed jealousy that comes up in our hearts, man. I tell you, there's been times in my life when I felt this thing so strong that you don't know You don't know how to deal with it. You don't know how to turn it off. Mm-hmm. It literally drives your life if you allow it. It drives you.
Because it's a root. It's
to the brink of destruction. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing worse than like a man jealous over his girlfriend or wife or vice versa. And you've got this jealousy thing going on because somebody else is giving them attention and then they're loving that attention or whatever. And you're like, why am I not good enough? What's wrong with me?
The trigger again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and man.
Not enoughness.
It is really as cruel as the grave, like scripture says.
Well, and if it's the root of all evil, think about that. Jealousy being the root of all evil. So you think of all the offshoots coming out of all the different fruit of jealousy. Like somebody could deny, well, I'm not jealous. Yet they're being vindictive. They're being envious.
You can see it all over.
They're sabotaging or causing betrayal. These are all offshoots of that jealous root. And it's just so dangerous, right? It's just dangerous, you guys, and so harmful. And we've all experienced it, you know, on either end.
And why does it happen?
Yeah, exactly. Where is it coming from?
Where is it coming from? That's the big question of the hour. Where is this coming from? Well, if you think about it this way, think about the 3D small self inside of you, which is this child that was wounded or abandoned or traumatized at some point in their life, and they haven't healed that wound.
Yeah,
well, that's always going to be sitting in the back seat, that little child, screaming, yelling, scratching, kicking, and clawing for attention. And then something happens to trigger that child when the child is asleep, so to speak, and then it's awakened, and then you're like, uh-oh. What is that sore spot? What is that wound? What is that trigger? Okay? It's revealed for a purpose, you guys. Here's the point. When we get jealous, when we get angry, when fury comes up, that's for a reason. When the trigger happens,
from the relational
it's for
rub.
Us to see so that it can be healed.
Yeah.
Not to be pushed back down
or acted upon
or abused again by trying to rebuke it out of anger, right? Or acted on, yes. You don't let the little child come up in the front seat and drive the Ferrari, you know? It's especially a wounded child that can't reach the pedals. So it's all revealed for a purpose. But yet, for some reason, we want to not expand and grow and move past the 3D world. We want to stay in the cesspool of swimming around, nurturing that thing, and we want everybody else to know. We want everybody else to see it. We want everybody else to know it. We want everybody else to hear it.
And we want everybody else to be where we are. Don't you dare think you're going to get out of my box, you know? Because this is the area I have mastered. This is the area I feel knowledgeable in. This is my expertise area. So don't you dare.
Yeah. Don't you dare
come in with a new idea that makes me look bad or come in with your bigger. It's just isn't it crazy, you guys?
Or how dare
and
you
how
experience
deceptive.
Freedom?
Yeah, how deceptive. We have built our castle on an ascension anchor. We have become the ascension anchor. And, oh, man.
How dare you experience freedom? How dare you go up in that hot air balloon and enjoy the scenery without me? Yet they're not willing to go up
themselves
and jump in the basket effortlessly and let the ascension itself, let the spirit of the wind take that basket up.
And this is what Jesus was challenging the Pharisees with all the time. Remember where he said, you stand at the gate and you block others from going in, ascending, right? And you won't even go yourself.
Perfect example.
Paraphrased, you know.
Perfect example.
That verse.
You stand at the gate. You stand at the doorway. Blocking them from eternal life.
Yeah,
from blocking the kingdom. Blocking them from ascension. 5D existence.
Realities
that have always been. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 3, in the Mirror Translation. Just love the Mirror Translation, guys. Don't believe the hype about people saying it's defiled or it's deceptive or whatever. Those are people that want to stay in 3D anchored.
Because it's an ascended book, right? It's the newer version out on the market, it right? Really is. Every new book always gets tested and labeled.
Well, and the more importantly, the man who translated this, if you knew his heart, François Dutoit.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. This guy, just look him up.
The father's heart.
It really does carry the father's heart. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 in the mirror. This is ridiculous. Who am I talking to here? Are you mere spiritual infants stuck in the soul-ruled mode of the flesh, reduced to baby talk? Cooing sentimental gibberish about who your favorite preacher is instead of discovering who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
Love that. I fed you with milk, and now after all this time, it seems that you have no appetite nor capacity for the meat of the gospel. While you remain on the milk diet of the soul-ruled realm of the flesh, that's 3D.
3D. Density.
Knowing Christ merely from a human point of view, you are unable to digest the meat message of what has been concluded and revealed in your union with Christ. There's a huge difference between seeing Christ historically and sentimentally and realizing the revelation of the gospel. This is the mystery of grace.
Yes, the mystery of grace.
God
reveals us.
Which
is spiritually discerned, you know?
Yeah, God reveals us in Christ. He associated us in Christ before time began. Jesus did not die as an individual. He died our death, and we were raised together with him. Your heated debates and divisions prove that you are completely missing the point of the gospel. You behave like any other spiritually unenlightened person, unascended person, right? Religiously obsessed with petty party politics. While missing the essence of the message. Wow.
Yeah.
That says it all right there
missing
with people.
Missing the essence of the message. And petty politics and petty all this stuff. That is so what you're going to do when you're an ascension anchor. Because again, something new is popping up. So you're going to challenge it and argue about it and pick it apart. And try to anchor back to what you know. And we all know, right? God said these things are spiritually discerned. So if you're living in a 3D carnal mindset of just, like they said, looking at Christ from a human standpoint, which is so easy to just judge, then that's how you're going to view everybody else instead of spiritually discerning. Here's a big thing John and I, we talk about all the time. Okay, so we all know in the church movements and all this stuff, they always want to know who you affiliated with. Who are you associated with? Who, you know, and this goes back to the petty politics of, you know, like you were saying there about all the different pastors. Read that line again.
Yeah, it says, cooing sentimental gibberish about who your favorite preacher is instead of discovering who you are in Christ.
Right. And so our argument has always been, wait a minute. Shouldn't you be tuned in enough to discern and know us by the Spirit, recognize us by the Spirit, versus needing a petty title of association of who you're affiliated with?
Exactly.
And again, that is a ascension anchor of, okay, I'm comfortable with this association. Okay, I believe in that association. So if you're not affiliated with their principles or their whatnot, then I can't let you in. You know, and so, or I can't trust you, or I'm going to be suspicious of you. Whereas if you're ascending and you're recognizing the Spirit of the Lord, you will recognize the Spirit of the Lord in each other. And that, again, Lord said, they'll know you by your love for one another, taste and see that they're good, that know them by their fruits of the Spirit. And so I really, you know, the ball is in our court to be able to discern whether somebody's of the Lord or not. And not need all the petty titles and associations and affiliations. And of course, you know, that was all logic and reason and man's ideas. Because, okay, who could you say Jesus was associated and affiliated with? Yes, he grew up in the rabbinical structure, and he was a rabbi with authority. But here's the thing, with rabbis with authority, they can now make their own ways and teachings to disciple with. They don't have to bring somebody else's, their rabbi that they learned from, and teach them. So if you're a rabbi without authority, and Shane Willard does a great teaching on this, then you have to teach the teachings that your rabbi taught you. And so it's just, you know, a continual doctrine. But if you're a rabbi with authority, you can now bring a new message, which Jesus brought. And he is now a rabbi with authority teaching those things and being led by the Spirit. So, I mean, that's a side note, but it's really, really interesting to look at. And so, but back to affiliations, ascension anchors need to know. They need to have that affiliation because that's where they feel secure and anchored. So if you're going up higher with a new revelation and there's no affiliation attached to that, oh, bless God, I better cut the rope to that. You know,
exactly.
And then the jealousies come in to try to take that air balloon down.
They really do. And the thing about it is, guys, why are we here? Why are we here to begin with? What are we doing?
What is this really about?
What is this really about? We are so conditioned by the hierarchy of the world and the programming, the subconscious programming that says it has to be a certain way.
Or academics.
Yeah, academics. Knowledge. All of the hierarchy of all the structures of the institutions of the world. You got to think, these are swirling around us from our generations of things. And they're swirling around us on a second-by-second basis in the news media and our college campuses and just institution,
everywhere. 3D climbing the ladder. You everywhere. Always climb the ladder.
And so it's super important. It's super important that we reprogram the programming that's been conditioned inside of our very mind and soul that says it's got to be this way. And so when anybody stands up, any revolutionary, any spiritually ascended person like Jesus or like Martin Luther King Jr., any of these people that have stood up and paid a heavy price for it, what they were saying is, guys, there's a higher ascended way here.
Yes.
And when anybody does that, just get ready. They're going to get bombarded with cruel jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get bombarded with persecution because they're trying to convey something from a higher viewpoint.
Yeah, it's a new download,
right? It's a new download. And so when they're inside that basket of that spiritual hot air balloon, and they see from another vantage point that you cannot see standing in the earth, digging your high heels into that earth and that soil, saying, no, you're not going without me. Say, well, come on up. Come on. We'll pull the rope up.
Mm-hmm.
We will pull you up into this basket. No, you're coming back down with me.
That's right.
You're going to stay right
highway
here with
the
me.
Highway.
You're not going anywhere. And you're like,
you're making me look bad.
And here's the thing. You're like, hold on a minute. I am seeing a vista. I am seeing a vantage point that will absolutely bring revelation and light to your life that you've been begging for, that you've been wanting, but you can't see it. But I can because I'm up here. Oh, no. Oh, no. Who says you're better than me? Who do you think you are?
Then comes the jealousy.
Yeah. Who do you think you are? Do you think you're better than me? No, but I can see farther than you. If you would just come up in the basket, you would see too.
Right. But see, that requires change. And we all know scientifically, according to the subconscious, your subconscious programming does not support change. So when somebody conscious is ascending into a greater revelation and expansion, what you have fighting against you are these subconscious programs that do not support change. It's not you. And this is why it's so important to become conscious and say, wait a minute, is this a subconscious jealousy that I'm acting in? Is this a subconscious program I picked up from watching my parents or watching my old pastor or watching some leader that didn't like change, and now I'm now operating in that download program I got into my subconscious? And so at that moment, we have an opportunity to choose to become conscious and wake up out of that and say, wait a minute, I am choosing to make this change. And I don't care if I've got to hear it over and over again of this new revelation to become a new program download in me, I'm going to do it because I want to ascend, because I'm going to let my spirit override this earthly subconscious 3D training.
Yeah.
And I am going higher. I'm going up. I don't care if it hurts, if it's painful to my ego, I'm going up.
Yeah. So good that, you know, if you look at your life, how can you tell when somebody else is anchoring or yourself is anchoring? Anytime something, quote, new to you, there's nothing new under the sun, but yes, there is. There is. There's new cell phones, there's new ideas, there's new witty inventions and all that. So you got to look at that in context. Nothing new under the sun, meaning everything
from heaven's technology.
Yeah, yeah. So things drop into the earth all the time, into the earth plane that are ascended all the time that are new. But anytime you feel like, okay, am I anchoring? Just ask yourself, am I anchoring in this or somebody else?
Am I anchoring or ascending?
Yes. Is when you're looking at something else. Here's a simple example. When you've got someone that refuses to text, okay, text message, and they want to talk on the phone, and that's the only way they'll communicate with you is talking on the phone or in person. They won't even email. They won't text message. Nope. I'm not going in. I'm not ascending into that new technology.
I'm not going to learn something new.
I'm not going to learn something new. Why? Here's the root. Go back to why. That's how you know they're anchoring. Yeah. Okay? That's how you know you are. Is why. You have to ask yourself, why am I anchoring? If you really want to become. Now, guys, if you don't want to grow, if you don't want to ascend, then you're not going to ask yourself these questions. You're just going to keep anchoring into no. I'm not going to message. I'm not going to text message my grandkids. I don't care if it costs me my relationship. I will not do it. See, that's anchoring. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, it's going to cost us something.
And it makes us look foolish.
It really does.
The very thing you don't want to have happen, right? Because if you don't want to look foolish trying to learn something new is actually happening to you, because now you're looking foolish to the people that do text, saying, wow, they're not willing to learn something new
and be more relevant. But it's your blind spot,
but
right?
The very thing you didn't want to have happen is happening. Now you're looking foolish for not being willing to learn something new.
Exactly. So you have to ask yourself the question, if you want to ascend, if you want to grow and mature, then you ask yourself, why? Why do I want to go there? Well, is it because, like we've mentioned several times already, is it because I want to look foolish? Is it because it's going to embarrass me? Same thing. Is it because I just don't think I can do it?
Yeah, that's really underneath it a lot.
Yeah,
times.
All of these things.
Insecurities.
And yet, inadequate. Be willing to look foolish, right? To make that change, because listen, most people aren't going to ridicule you unless they are an orphan themselves, unless they're drinking the infant's milk. They're not going to mock you for it. They're going to, the ascended ones that have already been mastering texting for decades here, they're going to look at you and say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll help you. Right. You really want to learn? Sure.
We all had to learn it.
No problem. And so it's the illusion that you're going to get mocked most of the time.
Yes.
That keeps us anchored. The illusion of being ridiculed and embarrassed. The illusion of it. Because most of the time, except for that one person that may make fun of you, right? Which is usually not the case, is going to keep us anchored. If we listen to that one illusionary voice that says, stay right here.
Yeah.
And then you wind up missing out on how many photos and pictures of your grandkids or your, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you anchor yourself and you miss out all the scenery down the river bend, you know, and out into the wide open spaces of the ocean. All because we were refusing change, and so we just stayed anchored at our little dock of understanding. And and remember what the Lord said, unless you become like little children, teachable, you will not inherit the things of the kingdom. And so I think, you know, one of the most attractive qualities of a person is that they are teachable. And, you know, people can see that you're a person of influence and a person that is knowledgeable on many things. And the fact that you're willing to be humble and learn something new is so awe-inspiring. It doesn't make you look stupid. you know? And so what if they say, oh, you mean you haven't learned this yet? That's just them excited because now they have an opportunity to share something and teach something or reveal something. So why not give that to them? Because the outcome is going to be that you just got to learn something new. So it's just, you know.
Yeah. And so listen, yeah. Listen to this. In, here's another translation of this in 1 Corinthians 3:3. For you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? So think about this. It's 3D anchoring is the egoic realm. It's really the egoic existence. Yeah. Whenever you hear flesh or see flesh in the scripture of the Bible, really what it's talking about is the ego part of us that wants to self-preserve and anchor in to that immature place of a woundedness or abandonment and a whole host of other things, right? And so it anchors in and says, if I do this, I'll get hurt again. Or if I do this, I'll be made to look foolish. Mm-hmm. And you're behaving in a very human way, which is 3D world, touch, sight, sound, all those physical things.
Densities. Lots of rules, lots of man-made rules. You know, here's something I think we should touch on too. What also keeps us anchored, ascension anchored, is fear of being deceived, right?
Oh man, this is a whole nother huge deal. Mm-hmm. Fear of being deceived. Let's newsflash, we're all deceived, guys.
Yeah, you could look at it that way, or we all at some level see portions of truth, right? We all in this, but this is where we have Papa God, we have Holy Spirit, we have Jesus, all our angels. We're not alone here in this. We're being led and guided all the time, and truths are being revealed all the time to the degree we can handle them. So rather than having pushback in our own ego because we're afraid of being deceived by some new revelation or somebody uses some term or word that just triggers you because it meant something in the past, but now it means something new and different,
You know what the definition of deceive, just a simple definition of deceive, let's go back to what that really means. It simply means a person that believes something that is not true.
False evidence appearing real, right?
Yeah, that's all it means. For
fear. False evidence appearing real.
Believe something that is not true.
Okay. So therefore, fear's anchored in that.
Anchored in it. And, you know, I don't know how many times people have tried to say this to us, or we've watched this unfold in the whole institutional world, is if you do that, you're going to be deceived, or if you go to that meeting, or if you listen to that, or if you go all over these there,
threats, right?
Just be afraid, be very afraid that you're going to be deceived.
Ascension threats.
We'll do another message on that. But it's true, you guys. It's if Christ is leading us somewhere, and we feel this leader, this prompt, and you just know that it's God leading you to something, He's not going to lead you into something that is a false evidence appearing real. He's going to lead us not into a deceptive thing. He's going to lead us into truth.
Yeah.
Remember what Holy Spirit in Romans, where he talks about the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. Lead you and guide you into all truth.
There you go. You're not right? alone.
So that means a fuller expression or a fuller understanding of truth. We've said this many times, and we'll continue to say this throughout our lives, quite sure, is that just because you read something, a scripture or someone's article or someone's teaching or opinion, does not mean it's the fullness of that truth.
Yes.
How many times have you gone back to a scripture or back to a passage or back to a story, and there's another angle, there's another facet of that diamond that is brought out and brought to your understanding, and you go, oh, I never saw that before. It's because you weren't ready.
Yeah.
Or you weren't ascended to that point yet. Or you were anchoring in.
Yeah, you were still holding on to the anchor. That's right. And you finally got free enough to let go and adventure out a bit. Yeah, it's just amazing, you know.
Some people say, that's absolute truth. That is 100% absolute truth. Well, to your understanding, it is right now.
Yeah, yeah, totally. One of my absolute favorite quotes that is so telling is the one that says, without understanding, abuse is inevitable. And isn't this what we do? Lash out of fear, or fear of being deceived, or fear of all this stuff by somebody saying, coining a phrase or a word, or exploring something. And because of our lack of understanding and our a wielding of judgment, we cut off the next revelation and next level of growth God is calling us up into, because we have pinned it or coined it or nailed it down to what we currently understand, instead of actually going to the root of what that thing is and understanding it from a new lens and what it really means or what it really is.
Oh, man.
And, we cut off our advancement all the time, don't we?
We really do, because we're in survival mode. Mm-hmm. And most people, 95, this is a proven fact, medically and scientifically, 95% of our day is thinking survival thoughts in the subconscious programming. So if that's the case, then 95% of the people out there are living in that. 5% are living consciously.
Yeah.
So we're not giving exact numbers here. What we're saying is it's around that percentage, okay? You know that to be true by looking at your own family, looking at your church family or your church group or your or just your spiritual family or your natural family. You can see who's in survival mode or not. Maybe you are as well, and you're starting to wake up out of it. That's wonderful. We all have been. We all are to a degree.
Right.
We all are. And so you can feel comfort in that we're all at different various levels of this, standing under, understanding, standing mm-hmm. under a certain blocker or anchor that says, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
We've learned to say, okay, God, I want to be wide open to anything, any possibility,
yeah.
any truth.
I trust you to lead me.
Trust you to lead me to any eye-popping, mind-bending thing that is you,
mm-hmm.
that we know to be true, because we're going to feel a peace on it, and you know that inner leading and prompting, so you don't have to worry about being deceived.
Yeah, you're in the river, you're in him, you know, so you're free to let go of the anchor of your own understanding.
You are. You're free to let. And the only one that can let go of it is you.
That's right. Because the river is always flowing. God's always calling us into the greater truths, right? Glory upon glory.
Yeah, but here's the thing to all of those John Wayners out there. We like to call them John Wayners.
John Wayne syndrome.
That love the scrapes and the scratches and the bruises and the evidence thereof. So I remember.
Of faithfulness.
I remember as a kid, a teenager, we're rafting. I love to raft. And in the summertime in the river in southern Oregon, there's Rogue River there. It was so fun. And the you could tell who the ego-fueled friends were.
The ego-fueled, yeah.
Ego-fueled friends, the unascended ones, including myself. When we would jump out of the inner tube or the raft, or we'd fall out of it, get knocked out of it, and we would bump along the bottom. We'd get scraped up, scratched up, bruised up from the rocks. And we just thought it was the funnest time. And we come out bloody. Some of the friends were like, yeah, look at this. I cut my knee wide open. Or look at this scratch. Look at this bruise. Oh, it's going to be a big one. And they were laughing and joking about it because, you know, it was all part of it. However, the smart ones... The smart ones, the ascended ones, so to speak, they would learn how to avoid all that by staying in that raft or holding on to the side of it so that they wouldn't go all the way down to the bottom and smash against these rocks, and anchoring, if you will. And there's a higher way. There's an easier way. There's a more effortless way of doing these things, guys, is what we're saying. You can get bumped up and bruised up and scratched up and have the potential of being damaged for life, mangled for life, or you can float down the river in an ascended capacity, avoiding these pitfalls, avoiding these rocks, and not anchoring in to the bottom and get beat up.
Right.
There's different ways of looking at this and different ways of doing it. There's more than one way to float down a river.
Yeah. and anchoring is not always a bad thing if you're anchored to the rock, to Christ, rock. Right? But when we're anchored to our own self-protection, our own ideals, our own doctrines, our own all man-made stuff, right, that isn't things God's telling you, but they're things you picked up and learned in religion, and there are so much fear-based, then yeah, we can be anchoring into the wrong thing. But we can anchor into the light. We can anchor onto the rock of Christ, but he's always moving and expanding and challenging us and growing. And here's something to really think about and to become conscious to. Say if we were living back in Jesus' day, and I love how John always coins Jesus was the new age to the old age back then, right? He was at the turning point of an old age ending. That's what it was talking about, the end of the world. It actually translates the end of an age, the end of an age. And Jesus was the new age to the end age, right? And so would you have, back in the day, anchored into the old age of the Pharisaical way of challenging Jesus with all this scripture? Where's the scripture for that? Where is this Jesus? Yeah. And need chapter and verse for that, pal. Pharisee, or would you have been a disciple that left all to follow him into the new and recognizing him by the Spirit? It's really interesting if we place ourselves there to look at how we act today. Would we be a Pharisee, or would we be, you know, a disciple? Will we be one willing to follow him? Because he was teaching a whole new way. Again, he was a rabbi with authority. So he was bringing and teaching a whole new way. He wasn't just inheriting the doctrines and teachings, rabbi after rabbi after rabbi. He was bringing the new way. He was bringing the heavenly way, right? And so it's just interesting to look at our own selves and kind of take an assessment, isn't it? You know, are we being anchored in these things, man's teachings and doctrines, or are we following the light and are being flexible and fluid?
You can't catch the fish if your lure is anchored into the rocks. They make bobbers for that.
You're going to get hungry real quick.
Bobbers ascend the lure or the hook. So think about ascension in a different way, you guys. So this isn't about being the smartest one in the room. This isn't about following some formula that's so complicated. Climbing the ladder. Yeah, climbing
the spiritual ladder.
The religious ladder. Oh. That says I got a jockey for position in order for me to stand out here. Listen, the best way to ascend is alone. Then you can collectively bring it together with a group.
Isn't that what Jesus said? Come do your things alone behind closed doors, not in front of others. Where others can see you and you gain your reward.
Yeah, here's another we can go on and on about this, but we'll wrap it up here in a minute. Is another way to tell that you are not that you're anchored, that you're in ascension anchoring in, is by not wanting to be alone. You have to be around people all the time. You have to be around people. You can't stand being alone.
Yeah, because when you're alone, your spirit is actually bringing things up that have kept you anchored. And because you don't like that uncomfortability, or we don't like that uncomfortability, then we got to quickly distract ourselves. Like, oh, I'm going to call up Sister Susie. I'm going to call up Joe. I'm going to see what they're doing. And so we can just go somewhere and I can distract myself, or I'm going to be busy doing things. Because I can't handle this vibration of ascension going on inside of me, bringing the dross up that I need to clear out so I can ascend. And so then we continue to keep ourselves anchored in the old, anchored in the routines and the habits and the old friends. Yeah.
Keeping busy. And so just know,
distractions.
Just know that once you ascend more so, the more you don't have to be or need to be around people so much. The how you can tell an ascended person that's ascending and growing and expanding and all that stuff, how you can tell is that they're alone a lot. They don't have to be around people.
They're at ease.
They get to be around others. And when they want to be around others, they're led to be around others. But they don't just go and hang out with others just to sit there and have the multitude of words swirling around where unalignment is not... misalignment is not lacking. and the multitude of people and words, misalignment is there.
Yeah.
Because judgments. Because there's judgments, and that's a lower vibration, it's lower frequency, and there is, and this is why don't be a busybody. The scripture says don't be a busybody going around mm-hmm. and getting in everybody's business and
business.
And, you know, doing all of the rumor talk and all that. Anyway, the whole point of this is don't let the anchors of your own intellect and your own subconscious programming keep you on the ground, spiritually speaking.
Yes.
Don't let them keep you from ascending into the high planes and vistas and the beautiful scenery of the spirit and where you want to go anyway.
Yeah,
where?
You're here in Earth School to grow. This is all part of your spiritual growth and wisdom and experiences and contrast, and all this stuff is for your own growth here at Earth School. So
that's it.
You don't want to stay stuck in second grade, do you?
Did you learn to
be
love?
Growing a gray beard and you're stuck in second grade?
Yeah, exactly.
Or gray hair.
Did you learn to love? It's the only way to ascend. And when we ascend, we learn to love.
Love yourself. And love others.
That's it right there.
So you are allowed to ascend. You are allowed to grow. You're allowed to not know. You're allowed to not have to have it all together or have all the perfect answers or any of that. You are allowed to just be free to be teachable, grow, expand, and enjoy the journey.
That's it.
All right.
All
guys.
Right.
We love you guys. You tons. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
Okay. Bye-bye.